Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
With the economy in trouble, communities in crisis, and people adrift in a sea of moral relativism, we need God's help. That's why I'm calling on Americans to pray and fast like Jesus did.
When a child is taught that Jesus is in your heart, if you keep repeating that, the child's going to grow up and learn that they don't have to go to church.
We should take all that outrage that we've directed at Casey Anthony and spread it around a little and look at our abortion laws, the one we countenance every day.
This is the month when we fast. Fasting is one of the pillars of Islam.
Happy Ramadan, Abdul.
Washington jet drivers love Issues Etc.
I was born in the mid-60s, 1964, and by the best estimates, the population of the world in 1964 was about 3.5 billion people. Well, it's doubled in my lifetime. It will be 7 billion this year. The predictions are in October, the 7 billionth person alive on the planet will be born, and that's not only a milestone. Some people will say that's a reason to be worried. The population is out of control. We won't be able to feed everybody. We won't be able to run our economies. China has a one-child policy already. Stiff fines for having more than one child, maybe. Maybe we need more population control. Of course, calls for that have been around in the United States since the 60s, since the population was half what it is today. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, August the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us here in a few minutes to talk about the calls for population control, her response. And then Chris Rosebro of Fighting for the Faith will be our guest. We're going to talk about something strangely absent from the teaching and preaching of Pop American Christianity, the active obedience of Christ, Christ's perfect fulfilling of the law for us as our substitute. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a regular guest. She's host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. She joins us to talk about calls for population control. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Colleen, according to those who watch these numbers, the 7 billionth person is going to be born sometime in October on this planet, and many are calling for fertility management. What do they mean, and how do you respond?
Well, fertility management is something that I think that's a term that Al Gore recently used when he was speaking on a conference on his affection for population control, and that's what it is. It's a euphemism for population control. And the way I respond is to urge people to look beyond this 7 billion number we've been hearing a lot about in recent weeks. You know, it's true that the world's population is rising quickly. And in fact, over the next 40 years, we're estimated to see an increase by a third of the world's population. So that's a big jump. But demographers who are paying attention to the long view are telling us that, in fact, the coming problem is not a glut of people, but a birth dearth. Because if you look at those trends, after we hit those peaks, we're going to see a decline, a pretty precipitous decline, and according to at least a few demographers, one that may be irreversible in population. And the reason for that is that all of this population growth that we hear so much about, although we hear it blamed on large families and too many babies, the fact is the main reason for it is a reduction in mortality rates and people living longer, and we've got more elders. So those big jumps that we're going to see in population over the coming decades are going to be jumps among elders, not children. And what that means down the road, of course, is that the population is going to turn around and drop, not only in places like Western Europe and Japan, where we're already seeing concern about low birth rates, but all over the world, in all different spots, including many spots that people assume have only a glut of babies, and they don't realize that down the road there could actually be a problem with workforce shortages.
Here in the United States, if I remember correctly, we are barely at replacement levels in terms of fertility, and yet our lawmakers, many of them, are making it sound like and are putting policies into place that would almost ensure that that go even further down. What do you think about that?
That's right. And we've seen, while the U.S. has generally been an exception to the rule of Western secularized countries with falling birth rates, we've generally avoided that by maintaining at least replacement rate. And actually, researchers say that's due to our higher religiosity when compared to secularized Europe. But we did see with this most recent recession that there has been some impact on fertility rates, dropping birth rates. And as you said, politicians in Washington, some of them, think that's not only a good thing, but more precipitous drops should be encouraged. In fact, in 2009, Nancy Pelosi, when pushing the proposed stimulus bill, it was $825 billion at the time that they proposed it, she and her party, it came wrapped up with taxpayer funding of contraception, and she said this was important, part of economic stimulus, because, as she said, it would reduce costs to have taxpayer funding for contraception. Well, of course, what she meant is it will reduce babies, which will then reduce costs. What people like Pelosi don't realize, again, they're not looking at the big picture, they're not studying the demographic data decades out, and they are spending a whole lot of money racking up huge debt for the government, for the average American taxpayer, without thinking that down the road we're going to need someone to pay off these debts. And just the fact that in this country, I mean, our elder population is exploding. The baby boomers are set to retire. People are already concerned that the Social Security system can't even remain afloat through the baby boomer retirement. With birth rates continuing to fall, we have to worry about making good on those Social Security checks, paying off those debts, and actually having a large enough and productive enough workforce to keep our economy and society afloat decades down the road. And this isn't just a hypothetical worry. In many nations, including places like Russia and Japan, many spots in Western Europe, governments are already instituting policies to try to encourage women to have more children because they're concerned that the economy is going to stagnate or actually dip into pretty irreversible depression if there simply aren't enough workers, tax-paying, productive workers out there to support this graying society, which we see, again, across Western Europe, but we're also going to see here in the United States.
How does abortion on demand figure into all of this?
Well, obviously, we've aborted now millions of children here in the United States. I mean, it's over a million a year we lose to abortion. That certainly figures in. We export abortion. We pay for, and we export our Western values, and I use the term values loosely, and that is the idea to developing nations that the best way to increase their wealth is to kill off their children or to at least not have many children. And again, if you talk to people in developing nations, often their attitude is one of being very irritated, that the only aid, Western countries seem to want to offer them are condoms, when what they want are clean drinking water and help with their food supply and help with the corrupt political structures that actually block them from getting access to basic necessities. And that's another factor in all of this that we have to remember. Population control enthusiasts often like to blame poverty on the people themselves and say that the solution to poverty is getting rid of poor people and, more to the point, aborting poor babies. But the solution to poverty is human innovation. That's always been the solution, a deeper solidarity and reform of those political structures that are the main problem when accessing, basic food, water, and all the rest of it. I mean, for many of these countries, there's a huge imbalance between the wealthy and the poor, and that's regulated by corrupt political regimes that need to be reformed. So it's not a lack of food so much as a lack of access. So all of this, however, is colored when we talk about it in the United States by our perception of abortion as a positive thing, as right that a woman has, and as a solution to the problem of poverty. And of course, we know that people like Margaret Sanger, the de facto founder of Planned Parenthood, was a strong proponent of eugenics, and she believed there were certain type of people who should reproduce and some who should not. And it's interesting, even today, although the calls for population control by people like Al Gore or a Nancy Pelosi or Simon Roth, who recently in Britain criticized Victoria and David Beckham for having their fourth child, called them bad role models. I mean, these are folks who always seem to think it's the other guy who shouldn't reproduce, not necessarily them. I mean, Al Gore himself has four children, Nancy Pelosi, five. So it's not so much that they're against large families for themselves. They just don't think the rest of the world should be reproducing. So it's a pretty hypocritical message all the way around.
Well, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Colleen Carroll Campbell about the call for population control. This is Issues Etc. And then right after our conclusion of our conversation with Colleen, we'll be talking with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith about the absence of the active obedience of Jesus Christ in the teaching of Pop American Christianity and its preaching as well. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for August is called Behold the Lamb, An Introduction to Christian Symbolism. One of our listeners' favorite guests, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, is its author. In this book, the basic symbols of the Christian faith, the cross, the crucifix, the shell, the dove, all of those things that Christians are familiar with are explained. The biblical roots are explored. This would make a great Bible study because these symbols point directly back to passages of Scripture, sections of Scripture, the teachings of Scripture. The book is called Behold the Lamb, An Introduction to Christian Symbolism by Deaconess Pam Nielsen. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for August. You can find out more about it by going to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House today and order Behold the Lamb, The Issues Etc. book of the month for August. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, more on population control with Colleen Carroll Campbell. You know, China has a one-child policy. Are there echoes of that in the panic concerning the population? We'll be right back.
After more than 20 years, we thought we'd bring you some fresh new ideas for Raging Rivers Water Park. Try this. Raging Rivers, home of the awesome wave pool. Not bad. Raging Rivers does have an awesome wave pool. But what about the endless river, body flume, swamp pool, treehouse harbor, itty bitty surf city, and more? How about Raging Rivers? It's closer than you think. Well, it is just a short scenic drive from anywhere in the Metro St. Louis area. What else? Raging Rivers, affordable fun in the sun. Raging Rivers, the family fun destination. Raging Rivers, a great place for teens. Raging Rivers, open daily on the Great River Road in Grafton, Illinois. You know, these are all wonderful, but they just don't capture the essence of Raging Rivers. The thrills, the relaxation, the absolute ultimate water park experience. Guess there's only one way to say it. Raging Rivers, it's cool when it's hot.
Raging Rivers, it's cool when it's hot.
Save $3 off the regular admission price with coupons available at your Schnucks.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384.
Welcome back. Colleen Carroll Campbell is our guest. It's Thursday afternoon. It's August the 4th. We're talking about population control. Colleen, of course, course, the country that most comes to mind when it comes to population or population control is China. They have for decades now had a legal cap on the number of children a family can have, called the one-child policy. Do you hear echoes of that in this population control panic?
Yes, I mean, all of this goes back to the 1968 book by Paul Ehrlich called The Population Bomb, and you'll still hear people reference this, even though it opens with these doomsday scenarios, how the fight to feed the world is already over. By the 70s and 80s, it'll be mass starvation all over the world. Now, obviously, the guy was way off, and yet, even though his theories have been disproven, people still cite that book and adopt that mentality. He was very clear that he thought, even in the U.S., we should have a strict population control program, and if people wouldn't voluntarily have smaller families, we should force them to. Now, obviously, China took this up and actually did this, and they're having disastrous consequences there, where they've got, you know, whole villages filled with restless young men and no brides, and there's already some talk in some provinces of trying to reverse the policy because there's such a lack of women and a lack of gender balance because, of course, with the one-child policy and a pretty patriarchal culture, the choice for many parents has been to choose to have the son and abort the daughter if a daughter comes along. In India, they're having similar problems with gender imbalance or sex-selective abortion. So we've seen where these things lead, and it's not only to a loss of human rights for the women and men involved who are forced to, you know, to abort their own children that are conceived, but it's also socially just huge problems, and economically there are going to be huge problems in places like India, and demographers have already charted some of this. So that's what's behind a lot of this, and I don't think it's completely far-fetched to think if this talk continues, and this continues to be sort of the eco-chic trend to disparage children as the reason for all our problems, that we could ever see something similar in the United States, although, as I said, I think the demographers and the demographic realities are going to catch up with us sooner or later. And unfortunately, probably too late, our politicians will realize that what they should be doing is encouraging Americans to raise up strong families as opposed to discouraging the raising of the next generation, because someone's got to pay these bills they're racking up in Washington. And if we don't have any children, we're not going to have anyone to pay those bills.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.